Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where wind touching the skin, sunlight streaming through the trees, and wave patterns covering the water excite the hearts of people. We are aiming to become a podcast to create excitements among people. Thanks for joining us.
Do you think excitements was a typo or a fair... I'm checking now to see. Was that a fair...
It could be... It's a fair
transliteration of the...
A copy pasta. Yep. Yep. This is from the Japanese brand Shimano, the bikes.
Oh,
Shimano. I know you didn't see that coming.
No.
You didn't think bikes. I thought maybe surf company, wasn't really sure.
So da ne.
But I really like that on the homepage, it just says, there's a picture of like bike gears and then it says value creating company.
I like to think we all
love this.
Our value creating company.
I think that's usually the plan.
And create excitements. I like creating excitements.
I like excitements.
Yeah.
Among people.
The more I learn Korean, the more I realize I sound like that when I try to speak Korean.
I know. It's like a dangerous line to be, but I sort of feel like at the same time, there's a pass when it comes to Japanese because I think there's a little bit on purpose now.
Yeah, like it's become a brand.
I think it's a bit of a brand. I mean, Shimano is a global brand.
Yeah.
You could certainly have an English language website that's not.
And this one isn't like
excitements, you know?
Embarrassing. It's just a couple of cute, like, oh, that's cute. It's not even exactly wrong. It's just unusual.
I think it's on purpose and I love it.
Yeah. No, I love
excitements
it
for people.
I also love nostalgia. You know, we love nostalgia on this show.
Oh yeah. Right? Love a nostalgia.
Well, one of the things we track a lot, of course, is, what decades, you know, are rising, you know, are people into the '70s and the '80s. And of course, over the years, the rise of the '90s. Well, guess what? We have a new decade entering the chat.
We do.
The Y2Ks.
Oh, my biscuits. God, we're getting older by the second.
I was at the Amazon Style store. That's a whole conversation on its own.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they, it's a Gap level clothing store, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like hip stuff for all ages, you know, but still trying to be stylish, be fashionable. And they had a big display up that said, I had to actually pull this open so I could read it. A throwback collection of bright colors, retro florals, and psychedelic prints not seen since the turn of the millennium. Oh, Y2K style.
My goodness. Wow. That is wow. Wow. I mean, I guess it was sort of only a matter of time because of the way that time does,
of course,
in fact, pass. Yeah. And so they were always going to catch up to that. I'm simultaneously devastated by this and also kind of happy because I've had these moments where I've mentioned Y2K to the youngs and had them be like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I guess I'm kind of happy that at least now they know what the hell Y2K is. That was like a big deal for us.
Yeah. Well, I think what's going to be interesting is I've always wondered, are we going to call it the 2000s or the aughts or, you know, all kinds of other things. It feels like the early leader is to call it Y2K, to call the decade Y2K.
The whole decade.
Yeah. And okay. So we'll go 80s, 90s, Y2K, teens and 20s, right?
Yeah, I suppose we totally will. The whole decade, Y2K, wow.
Because if you think about the turn of the century, we called it the turn of the century. That means right. 1900, right?
And we
still
do. And
when you talk about 1905, you're talking about, well, at the turn of the century. Yeah.
I don't remember any of this style from 1999.
That was the other thing.
That's the other thing that's bugging
me, right? I was like, I don't remember the retro florals and psychedelic prints. Also, when you're being retro and you say retro florals, are you saying they're just florals from then that are retro, or they were retro then and are even more retro now?
Yeah. I think this is maybe a little bit bolted on.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm looking up Y2K aesthetic. I need to know, because apparently I can't remember that at all.
I don't either.
It is. None of this is at all recognizable.
It's like, I remember hoodies and flannels, but that's really more teens. Late Y2K to the teens.
I think so. And then isn't that also 90s?
Well, the flannels certainly are also 90s, right? But they kind of subsided. The shirts got less puffy and less baggy.
They did, right?
That's kind of all I remember, though, about Y2K.
Chinese shirts. Well, this is, okay, this is fascinating, actually, because now that I'm just sort of digging into this web result here on the DuckDuck, it's clear that, like, Y2K, I think they've just invented an aesthetic.
Really?
And are calling it the Y2K aesthetic.
And all of us who were alive are like, I don't remember that.
Like, I don't really remember
dressing
like that.
Also, because maybe a lot of them are like me and are like, but I don't remember any of it. They're like, great, we can do whatever we want then.
I think so. They're like, yeah, you weren't really paying attention. Oh my God, there's a Y2Kaesthetic.com. Okay, what I'm discovering and thank you, as always, wonderful audience, for indulging in the real-time research that is our show, is that, holy crap, are you right? Like... Like Y2K aesthetic and Y2K as nostalgia that launches, frankly, possibly a whole new style is a huge thing. There's even a Y2Kaesthetic.com.
Wow.
It's just a clothing shop.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of boob. Evidently, Y2K involved a lot of boob.
Yeah. That I don't remember either.
Me neither.
You think I
do remember tiny backpacks.
Tiny backpacks, I remember. Earlier. Yeah. And I remember the sort of Western short sleeve collared shirt with the fake undershirt was a thing.
Yeah, totally.
That I don't know if that's going to come back, but yeah.
They seem to not be going for the grunge part at all. They seem to be going for the
psychedelic.
The kind of like the psychedelic and the like the hoochie loungewear, for lack of a better way.
I don't remember that being as big of a deal, but okay.
I don't remember that either. You know? Wow. This is busy. Amazing. They will. This is what the kids will do. They will take your history and they will pervert it for their own fashion needs.
Because they're the victors and they get to write it.
Yeah, they win. We were apparently just working and trying to survive. We were like coming out of the recession. Who was dressing like this? It was a recession.
Well, okay, but that... I have heard the same thing about the 60s when I'm like, oh, yeah, 60s with all the Paisleys and bell bottoms. And people are like, yeah, only rock bands dress like that. None of the rest of us did.
Yeah, exactly.
So that may be what we're experiencing.
This is the festival wear of Y2K.
Uh-huh.
Totally.
That's possibly it.
Well, my next thing is a shopping thing that's already over, or my first thing, rather. I already shopped it yesterday.
I was going to say, so you're safe, but no, you already shopped it yesterday.
Yeah, oh yeah. But now I'm very curious because I was like, what is this? So I was at Target and Target was overrun with this, with these like inexpensive, very cute consumer electronics under the brand Heyday.
Okay.
And I was like, what is the deal with Heyday? It seems to be everywhere. Mainly in Target, but like, what's the deal?
Like, they obviously did a deal
and they permeated
the store with it.
They permeated the store, and it's all, I mean, it's just like very stylish, like Apple Watch bands and charger cables and like cute, like, I don't know, things to accessories to put on your phone and phone cases and headphones. And they're
Okay.
They're all like $4 to $15.
So this is like Miniso. What are some of those other Japanese brands?
It's just like that.
It's like
exactly.
That. Yeah, yeah.
But so then I was looking, I was like, what is the deal with Heyday? And I looked it up and it seems like it's this kind of otherwise unique company that like specifically is an Amazon, it like buys and builds consumer brands to sell on Amazon.
Okay. That's how that's their main deal. And the Target thing is like a new expansion.
It's like maybe a new expansion into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then of course, like from a business perspective, I was like, this company is fascinating. They've raised you know, they've raised $500 million in funding.
Mm, wow.
For making, you know, for like brand acceleration.
Does that make them half a unicorn?
They're valued at $1 billion. So they're already a unicorn, okay, apparently, because we give you that on paper. You don't have to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I don't even have that much to say about it, except that it seems like this really clever, really innovative company that is 100% in the style of, and then what's the other one that makes the bags? It starts with an M. Muji.
I would have been sitting here trying to think of that one.
And I think it's Muji, right?
Is it Muji? We've talked about it. It was one of your things before. Yeah,
it was one of my things before. Anyway, it just really seems to be in the style of exactly those brands and companies, which I find super interesting. And then also, oh my God, these things are like so cheap and awesome. It's like a waterproof speaker. I mean, not that I'm encouraging there to be like more, you know, fast consumer electronics to go along with the fast fashion and Target, but it's working. Like it stopped me cold and I had to come on home and research it. It was such a big thing. And evidently it's like really working.
So I'm looking at their stuff. And in fact, I think it was App Porter put in a suitcase turntable in here. These are all things, especially that suitcase turntable, that I have seen under multiple brands.
Right.
Which
they are, in fact, it's probably all them.
So, well, or it's there's Chinese factories who are like, yeah, we'll make this for whatever, for whoever. You just tell us what color you want. Right. And so what Heyday's spin might be, this is just a theory, I don't know this, is to be like, let's find all of those commodity cheap manufacturing items and come up with really cool looks for them.
Right.
That you don't see elsewhere. And then that's our brand.
Interesting. Yep. That makes a ton of sense. It's almost like, well, it's like what Amazon is doing with Basics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting because Heyday seems to have maybe come out of, you know, or was creating some of those brands for Amazon.
Interesting.
Like Heyday is like the white label.
Yeah.
And they just take the data and they're like, we'll make the coolest thing and make it like cheap and super accessible.
And they have like cool hunters on staff who are like, oh yeah, don't do blue, do night gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing that maybe Heyday is a brand that Target owns. It's very confusing, actually, what the deal is with Heyday, because you can't very effectively search for it on the internet because it's a very common word. But yeah, it's exactly that. It's like, you know what it is? It's kind of like airdropping. Like we talked about airdropping the other day, except that it's like focused.
Yeah, right. It's like they're taking the ability to do that and making an entire business of branding on top of it.
Yeah.
Airdropping is the platform.
Right. Exactly. it's airdropping in the aggregate. Aggregated airdrop.
Right. What if instead of just airdropping, we like struck a deal with Target and we just airdropped to Target?
And I guess we would just be a brand. I don't know.
But so weird. Anyway. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I can see the path, right, that you would take from that.
I'm just kind of fascinated by it. Like, I just really am. Yeah, so it looks like maybe Heyday, the Amazon one, and Heyday, the Target one, are not the same. I really am flummoxed because it is so hard to look this up. But Target launched it in 2018.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway,
it's taken over, and it's really actually quite adorable. I know it's aimed at millennials, but as the world's oldest, as the Xennial in the room, I love it.
Well, I have one that's aimed at Gen Z, and it builds on a previous thing that we talked about, Be Real. It's called Paparazzi, P-O-P, not P-A-P like you would normally spell it.
Okay.
Paparazzi shot right to number one. I believe 95% of its audience, according to Protocol, is younger than 25.
Whoa.
And you take pictures of your friends, and then those pictures go to their profile, not yours.
Those, oh. Really?
So you are in the game of building up your own following. You're in the game of populating your friend's profile with fun pics of them.
Wow. That is absolutely genius. Because it solves the problem of like your friend always wants you to take their picture for the gram.
Yep.
Did you have a bunch of friends like that? I've tried to edit them. This is like the app for the Instagram husband, which evidently is a type.
Uh-huh.
It's like the, wow, this is amazing. But this is actually quite clever. And I like the idea that it goes along with this sort of the authenticity play.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Although I will tell you that I've completely lost interest in BeReal. I uninstalled it.
Oh. There is a certain dynamic about BeReal that doesn't work if you want the other dynamic. Right. Because I'm not going to lie, Eileen complains. I think she's not going to be long behind you, but she complains every time there's a BeReal. She's like, oh, I don't want to take the picture now. I don't like the way it does my selfie. And I keep explaining to her, like, that's not what it's about. The whole name is just take a picture of whatever you're doing right then and be real. And she's like, yes, but I don't like being real. She didn't put it exactly that way, but it's basically what she's saying is like, yeah, that's just boring. It's a bunch of people looking at their computer screens.
It is all day, every day. That's the thing though, because it's two things. And I'm 100% with Eileen on this. And this is the problem with this idea of like what it really is forced authenticity, which is not authenticity. Uh-huh. And then you have two problems. One, those selfies are so unflattering. Like they legitimately are. And I was like, I don't want to keep posting pictures of myself where I look like, I don't know, like a distorted Mr. Potato Head. And two, I don't like looking at those pictures. And then three, the content is boring. Like content is king on social networks, and the content got a little boring on BeReal because it's everybody's computer screen.
I still like it. Because even though it's like, oh, that one's a computer screen, you get those other moments. You're like, oh, I never would have noticed this. I never would have seen this. I never would have known they were doing that.
Yeah.
And I find that still fascinating. We'll see how long I find it fascinating.
Right.
Totally. I have noticed in the past week that I went from like always noticing the BeReal notification and being, you know, proudly within the first 2 minutes quite often to like, oh, the BeReal notification came and I totally missed it. Because I'm not excited about it anymore.
Yeah, that's so, the first step.
To me, it's not so much about, like, I still enjoy the feed, but I'm not as compelled by it. Like, the newness is wearing off. And that was what got me at first, is that newness usually wears off really quick. And it didn't with BeReal longer than I expected. But I'm not sure if they have a future if that's all they got. And I don't know
if they can add something.
Stay with their own concept and have a future, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah. Well, there's gonna have to be some version. Like you can, maybe you can have options, or you can.
Well, they've already started. I just noticed recently that my international friends, who used to always be like, you're 18 hours late because you live in a different time zone, they have started to show up as like only an hour late. And I'm like, oh, they have a different time now.
Right.
They've already started to do a different time around time zone, which they kind of have to do.
They kind of have to, because you'd get one at, you know, 5 a.m. Pacific, and be like,
The other thing was, the other thing with paparazzi though, I think is interesting, is they aren't like tying you to a time or an authenticity play. Mm-hmm. They're just removing.
It's generosity.
Exactly. They're removing the motivation to promote yourself. And I think that is more fascinating, because there's still plenty of like, make the picture look good and have fun, but you're doing it for others, not for yourself, which feels very Gen Z.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. I like that concept a lot. I could see that really taking off. Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also on trend with the kids these days. And I've noticed that it's in the ongoing chronicles of the language evolution, I remember bemoaning, like not even bemoaning, but remember there was like a whole conversation about, oh, they would just use emojis instead of words. Uh-huh. And oh, they always spell them wrong and the whatever. And then now they just can't even be bothered to spell out long and complicated greetings such as good morning. Uh-huh. And this one is just permeated. Like everyone now uses GM instead of good morning.
And this came from crypto, right?
I think so.
I remember hearing about this being a crypto thing, like around the time of the GameStonk situation.
It was
kind of mockingly talking about all the GMs and all that. So it must have broadened out of there.
I think it really did. And then Know Your Meme says that it did. It existed, and you could find it as early as 2017. But for some reason, it did get popularized in these NFT Twitter circles.
Got it. Okay, so it started somewhere else, wormed its way in there, and then okay, yeah.
And it's obviously been around a long time. Like, it was added to Urban Dictionary in 2003.
Oh wow!
And then it had this like kind of spike in the crypto world, and so maybe because of just Twitter as a vector. Mm-hmm. Since that's where so much of these Twitter or crypto conversations happen, it's gotten a lot more popular. Like, there's a new entry about it on Know Your Meme from like 5 months ago. And I'm just noticing it as de rigueur in our group chat now. And then you can, if you look it up, it's actually pretty funny. If you do like go search for it, you'll find like all these posts on Quora that are like, my boyfriend only ever says GM and GN instead of good morning and good night. Does he hate me? Now I want to read further and see if some of the comments are like, no, he's just into crypto.
right. Or he's, you know, he's just ahead of the game. You'll all be saying it soon.
I know. Like, I don't really know. I mean, it's hilarious. Like, somebody like Lesson, that, you know, that like tech writer guy.
Yeah.
Like, of course there was a, like, Sam Lesson, who tweets about hating everything. He's the guy who actually like brought Calendly to my attention because I had started using it and I was having questions about it. And then he tweeted how stupid it is. Like, in 2021, Sam Lesson was like, this GM thing in crypto is unbelievably stupid.
That's a mark. And then someone else was like, thing.
Right. That's how, you know, and then someone else is like, the GM trend is about personal prestige and clubbiness. I'm like, what?
Well, all slang
really
is about personal prestige and clubbiness at first, at some stage in the slanginess of it, right?
Because
it's a symbol of the in-group. Like, oh, if you know what this means, then you're part of my group.
I guess what's so funny about it is, like, it's good. It's also just good morning. So, like, the idea that you would take good morning and alter that greeting for your personal prestige and clubbiness is also just amazing. That's just amazing on so many levels.
Yeah. Well, those kinds of things just sort of happen randomly. I mean, the granddaddy of them all is okay. Okay was an in-joke for a bunch of bros at Harvard in the 1800s.
Really?
And it simmered there for decades until it just somehow got cross-pollinated and started moving out into the culture. And by the 50s, it had sort of gained mainstream acceptance, but it wasn't really like, it was sort of like, well, if you're properly talking, you don't say okay. And I remember even in the 80s, teachers saying, it's fine to say okay, but don't write it. And it's too informal.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And now, wow. Okay is an international word. Like, it shows up in every piece of media in every language you can think of. Like, it has entirely conquered the planet.
God, that's so I love this show. Like, that's so great. That's the best context ever.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And yes, apparently good morning is dead.
Good morning is dead. It was morning and now it's just GM.
Now it's just GM.
Just GM.
GM. It doesn't mean he hates you.
Well, we have a VM from Manny.
Manny, yay! Are you been friends?
Does Manny have tenure as a PhD?
For sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, at this like point, right? Granted.
Manny has a voicemail about coffee lids.
Hello, it's a thing. Hello, it's a thing. You got Manny here, and I'm presenting to you a coffee Gen Z thing. So apparently, when you go out for coffee, there are two types of lids that you can get. There's like a big domed lid with a hole in it for a straw, and then a normal coffee lid that you just drink out of. And if you want to break a Gen Z's heart, you give them the domed lid with the straw, because the flat lids are where it's at, apparently, for the younger gen. I don't know. Peace.
Wow.
Flat lid prestige?
because straws you... because the war on straws has won.
Yeah. Oh, totally, right?
Yeah. This is literally about their like climate friendly signaling.
Because the bubble lid I associate mostly with boba tea and milk tea and stuff, where you need the big fat boba straw, but right. You can't use that without a straw.
Right. Wow. If you want to, that's incredible. Because I went to Starbucks the other day. For the first time in a while, and noticed that they gave me the little like strawless plastic lid. I guess what I find, I don't want to buzzkill this because look, I'm delighted. Right. Every little bit helps. Good sure. job. Good job, Gen Z. Way to take those strawless lids and reject the dome and the straws. But the lids are still made out of plastic.
I was thinking the exact same thing as you were saying that. I'm like, what?
They're still disposable plastic.
And then immediately my mind goes to like, are the dome ones actually thinner? And even with the straw, are you actually using less plastic?
I know. Totally.
I'm not sure if that's true, but anyway.
And they say it's recyclable. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to buzzkill it.
Yeah.
But I do like that. Look, every bit, again, every bit helps. I'm delighted about this. I'm delighted. Starbucks evidently announced these lids in 2018, huh. And has kind of been rolling them out slowly.
I thought they always had lids that you could drink without a straw, though, right?
I think this is part of their long, slow plan to literally get rid of straws and not offer them as an option.
There's only the one way. All right. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Lee Price on a possible thing, surgeons. I'm noticing fanny packs worn off the shoulder everywhere in the last few months. Looks like they're being popularized as sling bags. Stay tuned for the thigh tote and bicep briefcase, I guess.
Some people call it a fanny bag. I call it a sling bag.
Lee Price can confirm I have two. It's totally true. The fanny pack like has moved off the pan. And in fact, it's been a while in the fanny pack itself. It's not even that cool to wear it as a fanny pack. Now that's just apparently what the olds do. Like you take your fanny pack and you make it a sling bag.
We just don't want to have that conversation with the Brits anymore, right? We're like, let's just put it somewhere else that we can all agree is called a shoulder.
Well, we were also calling it a belt bag out of deference to
that's what I mean. Then it became this thing of like, well, should I call it the other thing? But then does some people haven't caught on and they don't know. Just put it on your shoulder. We all have shoulders.
I don't want to. It hurts my neck.
Okay.
I like the belt bag, but yeah, no. And now they sell them. And they look exactly like a belt bag, but they don't have a clip because it's a sling bag, people.
Uh-huh.
Sling bag.
I like bicep briefcase, too. That's pretty good.
I do like that. That's outstanding.
Joe from Weather Undecided Grand Rapids, Michigan, wrote in on last week's things. I've been using a battery-powered lawnmower for a while now. I got the Ego one, E-G-O, all caps, but then also got the string trimmer, snowblower, and chainsaw from them, too. They all use the same battery. It's so much nicer to deal with. No gas, never running out, realizing you need to go to the gas station in the middle of clearing snow or mowing the lawn. You just pull the battery from the charger, put it in the lawnmower, and you're good to go. Also, on meal delivery services, I've been using EveryPlate for a couple of years. It is the cheaper brand of HelloFresh, like half the price. A lot of the meals are the same. You just get fewer options. And instead of each meal getting a bag in the box, they come mixed together in a tray in the box. I love just being able to pull everything I need out for the meal and then being able to make it. Love the show.
That's incredible. Wow. EveryPlate. I love that.
Okay, adore the idea that there would be like a premium version of like, hey, if you've got the disposable income and you want the extra choice, we'll do that. HelloFresh, but we can give you the same meals for cheaper if you just make it easier for us.
Yeah. Genius.
Yeah. Also, the battery thing, I wish I had been here for that conversation because I have been living the battery life since the 90s. The first drill I ever got in like 93 had a nickel cadmium battery and everyone made fun of me like a battery and a power drill. And I was like, this Makita does everything. And I still use it today with the same two batteries I bought back then, mind you.
Dang.
I know.
The exact same ones.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, actually. But you're on the cutting edge. You're on the cutting edge. But yeah. Lawnmowers again, delighted. Couldn't be more delighted. And also I just as an update audience, apparently when I talked about HelloFresh being a thing, it's because I was over it. I've like now skipped every meal since then and I'm curious about other ones. Like it's like
That was the end.
Be a sign of extreme permeation, apparently, that I'm just like, yeah, but I'm over it now because it's everywhere.
Sometimes that happens. Like, as soon as you express thoughts about a thing, that resolves it. And then you're like, now I'm done. Now I'm done.
It's like listening to that song you've had in your head.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Gets it out of your head.
And then longtime listener since BOL and often agreeer, Gabby writes in on pajama pants. Can confirm the schlumpy teenage dressing. My son is 4 months older than yours, Molly, and since the pandemic, he and his friends only wear sweats. And yes, I've noticed the pajama thing, but more on girls.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just can't.
It's just how they look.
I feel schlubby wearing jeans.
Although my son is wearing like nice baggy 90s jeans right now, very Y2K aesthetic, and a button-down shirt. Hey, is Y2K aesthetic a thing? He says yes. Yep. I just got
confirmed.
The nod.
Confirmed.
Thing confirmed.
I want to say confirmed now.
I was reading ahead to schlumpy.
I know you're reading schlumpy, but I'm like, I kind of love that.
Confirmed, I do too. Confirmed.
It's even more confirming than just confirmed.
It's like confirmed is one thing, but confirmed is real.
There's no doubt.
That shiz real.
Speaking of real, let's get to the shout outs. These go to the folks who support us at the very top level on our Patreon. And because they do, and they are so generous and they find so much value in the show, we give a little more value back by having our producer, Rich, construct the best shout outs in the business.
The best. Nobody is doing shout outs at even remotely this level. This week's are based on a description of the I love him. Where's my child? He left for this. Based on a description of the Gazoo Boba U4T keyboard switch.
Yes, your shout out based on an obscure keyboard switch, my friends. What? I challenge you to find another podcast that puts this much thought and preparation.
You're not going to do better. By the way, he mouthed the words to me. I love that switch.
There you go.
And they're incredibly, by the way, as befits our shout out patrons, incredibly expensive.
Shall we then?
Here we go. The U4T Benjamin Forrest switch is a medium tactile switch with a David Grizzly Smith bump with no pre-travel on Morris Jones, a solid Andrew Bradley, and a nice pop on Lee Price. The James C. Smith all the way through is smooth thanks to the Kevin Sill and Gabriel Cohen composition and has a Thocky Joe hood that has become very sought after.
Eric Duncan has also gone to the effort of designing a new Jake Woods to not only be Laura Abel and Miranda Janelle friendly, but also to reduce Louis St. Amour ping. The use of high quality Korean stainless steel Mike Akins helps prevent it as well. U4 is short for euphoria. The T in U4T stands for extra thock.
Bravo, Rich. We should all.
I love that he's like, you know what? We just have to keep this last line in here, even though I'm not working any names into it because it's just too good.
No, we're keeping euphoria and extra thock. 100%.
Also, Thocky Joe Hood is now.
I mean, right?
The only way I will think of Joe Hood.
Yeah. Sorry, Joe. You're thocky now.
In a good way, in the best way.
I love this thing where he's making the shout out thing related to the things that we did on It's a Thing. Thank you for listening.
So meta.
To It's a Thing. You can become a member of It's a Thing and get access to our Discord where we record live and I move the time around on you a lot, an ad-free RSS feed, and much more if you support us at patreon.com/It's a Thing at any level.
Also, I miss you. So write me feedback at itsathing.me.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.